Rush into Old Navy today for this can't-miss one-day deal. 50% off all Old Navy active for the family. Get the workout wear you need at a huge 50% off one day only today. Hurry in or miss out at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/20, select styles only, excludes in-store clearance.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standig here, coming to you guys one day after the Wizards lost in Atlanta, series 2-2. Everybody's back here in D.C. Game 5, 6 o'clock. Come on, TV. Actually, to be not going to lie, that's actually good for the media folks. Earlier deadlines, we get out of there semi-normal time. Bad, though, for the fans and the environment. I don't know how many people are going to be there tip-off. We'll see what happens. In any event, last night after the game, my guy Kyle Wiedeye from truthaboutit.net and I caught up. We went through what the heck happened, how this series is now 2-2, and what the Wizards need to do to rebound and get back on track. They still have home court advantage. That is important to remember, though at the moment it doesn't feel so hot in Wizardland. Here's what I got today. I just spoke a little bit ago with Mount St. Mary's coach Jamian Christian. This is the third time he's been on the show. Just for the quick background, I mean, Jamian led Mount St. Mary's to the NCAA tournament this year. He and I talked early in the season, and he mentioned that he kind of knows Scott Brooks a little bit, not like buddies, but he'd been with him at some point a few years back during the OKC days. In any event, he watched the Wizards game last night. I wanted that coaching perspective, so he did that for us. He took a lot of notes, and he shared that with us. Today, the X's and O's of it, you know, we're all looking at it sort of that certain, casual perspective. He's looking at it from the strategy standpoint. What's he noticing? Does he think that, what is he noticing with the defense, with Wall, with, the Wizards' mindset? A really interesting conversation. I hope you guys are gonna like that. So I'll play that for you guys here in just a second. Of course, for game five, I'll be back at Verizon Center. Presumably Todd Dybvis will be there with me, and we will recap the game as well, see if the Wizards can keep home court advantage and take a 3-2 series lead. Beyond that, you guys know the drill. Please subscribe on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting. We are a Stitcher podcast now as well. If you're on iTunes, would definitely love it if you'd not only subscribe, leave a review, 5 stars or whatever you think is appropriate, but 5 stars would be cool. More people who know about the podcast, the better it is for us and all involved, and they think the more reviews helps that cause. All right, enough out of me. Let's get into this. Here we go. Jamian Christian, head coach of Mount St. Mary's, talking about what he saw from the coaching angle of Wizard Talks Game 4. All right, we're going to take another look here at the Wizards, what happened in Game 4, and rather than just have me go on and on, I decided to get some actual X's and O's experience. So I reached out to Jamian Christian, head coach from Mount St. Mary's, also, more importantly, of course, a three-time guest now on the Locked On Wizards podcast. I know that's got to be high on your list, on your resume, Jamie. And before we get to the Wizards and Hawks, how's everything going? I haven't talked to you officially since you guys made the NCAA tournament. You won a game. You hung with Villanova there for a bit. How's everything going?
Yeah, things are great here. We got a great team coming back. We've obviously coming off a tremendous season. This is a great time of year. All this NBA basketball on every single night. It's a great time for a person like myself, for basketball fans out there, to really learn the game a bit more. Getting a chance to watch, Scott Brooks and his Wizards team this season has been a lot of fun. Watch them in the playoffs and the adjustments they're going to have to make at the Hawks, and the Hawks have to make against them. It's been a really good learning experience for me, so I'm excited about this activity here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm thinking about it as you're just talking, that the NCAA tournament final game between Carolina and Gonzaga, it seemed like everybody was complaining about the officiating, how there were just too many fouls called in the game, and it ruined the flow and what have you. And
I know one thing that's been an issue for people in the Wizards series, maybe not so much in Game 4, but certainly in some of the earlier games, it just feels like the foul trouble, the amount of fouls being called has been off the charts. I'm always curious about this from a coaching standpoint. At what point do you, as a coach, get a sense as to how this is going, that the refs are going, that they are not, they're going to call all these kinds of calls, they're going to let you get away with stuff? How does a coach sort of gauge that, and how do you explain that to your players?
Well, you know, I think it's all about the amount of opportunity that you're able to create. You know, our team here, you know, we're a very dribble drive oriented team with our guards getting to the front of the rim. So typically you don't get a lot of foul calls on drives from the perimeter to the front of the rim. You know, typically that's a pretty hard foul to get. And that's because there's a lot of time between the time you're taking the ball from the top of the key or the wing and getting to the front of the rim. The shot blockers are able to get in place there, and usually your smaller guys are driving from the top of the key, so they have a tendency to maybe shoot a floater or not get as close to the basket. And, you know, the way you're able to really generate foul calls, and the Hawks are really doing a great job of this, but this is a big strength of their team. You know, when you look at the Hawks, they're definitely a team that's been built to play in the playoffs. Bringing in a guy like Dwight Howard this year, Paul Millsap has been there for a while. You know, they're getting to the free throw line because they're really using a lot of post-ups for Dwight Howard and a lot of short post-ups for Millsap. And when I say short post-ups, they're throwing the ball at 15, 16 feet. He's obviously great at getting guys up off their feet, using the shot fake and then driving the ball. And so when you look at possessions like that, where the ball is getting to the block early in the shot clock with a chance to drive it to the front of the rim, those plays are going to have a high percentage of getting foul calls because the defense is set, the defender, the one-on-one defender is set. So now if you're able to get them up in the air, and the NBA guys are so good at this, at drawing those fouls, the Hawks are built to do that. Quite honestly, when you watch the Wizards play, they've had a tremendous season, but they're not built on doing that. I mean, a lot of their drives are coming from John Wall or Bradley Beal from the top of the key and getting to the front of the rim, and you're not going to get a high percentage of foul calls there. And so I don't think, honestly, the foul situation seems to be a big deal, but I think both teams are built to win differently. And we've just kind of made note of that over the last few games with the Hawks' ability to get there. But they're built to get to the free throw line, especially with the way they like to throw the ball to the block and throwing the ball to the elbow with the actions they like to run. You look at the Wizards, they're much more of a pick-and-roll team with John Wall and Beal and kick out and knock down outside shots. And so you're just looking at two different styles of play. I don't know if the free throw battle is one that's really going to decide the course of this game, quite honestly. The course of this series, it's going to be more about the team that can play their style the best.
No, and you make a great point. Just to sort of like compare it with the regular season, the Wizards were eighth in the NBA in three-point shooting percentage during the regular season, and right now they are last among all the playoff teams.
Yeah.
Otto Porter, Bradley Beal, Jason Smith, Bojan Bogdanović all shot at least 39% or better during the season. Yep. Right now they're all under 30%. On the flip side, Atlanta, not a great – they're also not making threes this season, but they were only 23rd in percentage during the year. But what they do is get to the free throw line. They did that really well during the season, like you said, and they were taking the most free throw attempts during the playoffs. So Atlanta is definitely getting more of what they do, and the Wizards are struggling with there. Marcin Gortat has not taken a single free throw attempt in this series. Now, part of me almost seems that seems impossible. I mean, just one rogue time, some ref would call something. But it seems like he gets a lot of his action when he and John Wall are doing those pick and rolls. But Atlanta, it seems like they're really kind of, I mean, part of it is Dwight Howard is there, but part of it is, it seems like they're really sort of packing in the lane almost to take away that play and letting the Wizards' three-point shooters beat them if they can, and they're not doing it. Did you see anything about that, sort of the how they're defending them, that pick and roll?
Yeah, you know, when watching the NBA, I think it's really important to understand, like, the experience of the teams. And usually when a team has a lot of playoff experience or a lot of veterans, and that's why you see teams like the Cavs kind of go out and pull out veterans, even from retirement, to play for them. You know, veteran teams, experienced players, they're really great at defensive rotation. They're really great at making adjustments mid-series on what they need to do. And, like, when you look at the Hawks, and they've got 378 games on their top eight of guys, 378 playoff games of their top eight guys. The Wizards have 168 on their roster. So the Hawks are averaging 47 games per player in their top eight. The Wizards are about 21. I think you really see that on the defensive end in the half courts. And what the Hawks are really doing in all facets of the game defensively. They're really saying they're not going to let John Wall beat them. They're doing a great job of loading up on his pick and rolls and really getting over with as much help as possible to limit Gortat to the front of the rim and really making John Wall have to make skip passes and kick the ball out. And, you know, Gortat, honestly, is one of the better pick and roll bigs in the game. And he's still obviously contributing. I think he had 18 rebounds last night. So he's contributing in a lot of different ways. But the Hawks are really making a concerted effort to make sure that they're going to have to kick the ball out, and they're going to make sure the Wizards have to beat them from the outside. The good thing is, you know, the Wizards being such a good three-point shooting team, they're going to have those three-point shots. I mean, those three-point looks are going to be there. And, you know, last night they had a ton of those looks. But, you know, they're really saying, we're not going to let Gortat get the ball here in the lane, and we're going to make sure John Wall has to kick these balls out. You know, they did a great job of that at home. But, again, I think the experience level shows really important in their ability to change defensively and do what needs to be done. And, you know, occasionally at the end of the shot clock, they'll be able to switch. And, again, you can do that with experienced guys who are all have a great understanding. And the Hawks are doing a great job of making the Wizards work for a lot of shots there in the half court. And you know, there, one thing that I think will happen in this series that's going to be really great for Wizards fans, you know, the Wizards are going to have a chance to grow up here a ton. And, you know, you're going to grow up through adversity, and that's kind of the way this thing goes. But you're sitting here at 2-2 against it. You know, you're sitting here at 2-2 with the series tied up, and you got – you know, you got a team that doesn't have a lot of experience versus one that has a ton of experience. So if the Wizards are able to really grow a little bit here over the next few days, they're going to really have an opportunity to close this series out.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about the experience because, I mean, you know, everybody sort of used Wall and Beals as a young backcourt, but this is their third rodeo for the playoffs. Yeah. So they've been there, done that. They've already played. They already both have won a series, or you know, they've won two series actually. Yep. So they're experienced. But Markieff Morris, this is the first time he's been in the postseason, and he may be the one guy where it does seem like there's a difference. Because one thing I'm sort of curious about with what you think, you know, I cover the Wizards all their home games, and I'm in both locker rooms. And you'll hear a player say something about, you know, they'll throw some shade at some guy on the other team. But they won't see that player again for another 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever it's going to be. Now you're seeing that guy that, you know, in 2 days. So when Markieff Morris starts going at Paul Millsap, there's immediate retribution if Paul Millsap has that in. And guess what? He does. And it is sort of interesting. I wonder, I don't know if that's an experience thing, but maybe it's one of those things where you don't realize, oh, crap. Maybe I would have said that if I hit Paul Millsap in January, but knowing we won't see him again for 6 weeks, and by that point, people won't care. You see him again in 48 hours, and, oh, wait a minute, that might be a problem.
I think it's really important in high-pressure moments just to monitor your energy and where you're placing your energy at. And, you know, this is going to be a series that's going to go right down to the end. And, you know, you want to pull all your energy on the things that you need to do well. And, you know, I think, you know, Phil Jackson used to always talk about not giving the opponent any extra motivation, you know, and I do think that's pretty important in general. It's just, you know, trying to lock in and play your game and focus on what your team needs you to do best. You know, the other thing is, you know, it's not just one individual player. You know, it's the Hawks team versus the Wizards. And, you know, when you talk trash about a guy or so, the team has a ability to want to load up and try to do a better job. And I think that's what you're seeing with the Hawks. They're really just locking in defensively, trying to take away the first and second option. They're consistently making the Wizards have to go to the third and fourth option to try to beat them. And the Wizards keep growing with that. I mean, they're a young team, and they've won. They've got superstars who've won playoff games. And when you watch this series, I mean, it's really coming down to the bench that I think they're really struggling. Quite honestly, you know, last night Jose Calderon, Kent Bazemore coming off that bench with their experience level, you know, they really were just great energy givers. If I borrow one from John Gordon, they just gave so much energy to the Atlanta Hawks. And you know, I don't know if you saw that versus the Wizards. Now, typically, it's easier for bench guys at home to play well than it is on the road. I think that's typical in the NBA or in college. But, you know, I think that the bench matchup, to me, looms really important. You know, when, you know, Beal and John Wall have to get a couple minutes out of the game and someone has to step up. You know, you got Brandon Jennings, who's just an excellent player, and Kelly Oubre, and these guys have to step up and just start making some plays that they can easily make and make shots that they can easily make. And the game is going to be decided not necessarily by the superstars, because the superstars of every team are going to show up in the playoffs. But the bench really matters, because they can really give you, you know, plus 4 or 5 points, you know, and that's what the Hawks were able to do last night with their bench. And that was really the separator.
You know, you mentioned the bench. And I guess let me mention that you are, of course, listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here along with the guy, Jamie Christian, head coach of Mount St. Mary's. And you were with, the first time we talked, the Wizards, it was early in the season for you guys, and it was pretty early in the season for the Wizards. And I think it was at that point where they were still struggling, and I think I may even have made a joke to you that I kind of made a wrong decision to get into a daily Wizards podcast for a team that was starting off 2-8. But part of what was going wrong earlier in the year and stayed with that for a while was the bench, that they basically the starters would give them a lead, and then they would start to turn over the bench, and by the time the starters came back in, the momentum was clearly going the other way. And last night I said on the recap podcast I did with Kyle Wiedei from truthaboutit.net, I said last night's game reminded me of a game earlier in the season, because if you looked at the quarter splits, the first and third quarter, the Wizards had a plus, I want to say like 16 advantage. But in the second and fourth quarter, which is more bench on some level, they were minus 26. And all of a sudden Jason Smith is not making shots the way he's done for the last couple months, but earlier in the year he was missing. Kelly Oubre is back to looking like a guy who doesn't quite get it. Brandon Jennings epitomizes being up and down. They, of course, don't have Jan Mahimi. So, yeah, they're definitely having struggles there. I'm sort of curious from a coaching perspective. Obviously, I know college is a little bit different. You don't typically have 13 guys in your team that realistically you're feeling like, hey, I can put this guy out here and feel always great about it. The NBA, you would, like, in theory, you've got pros on your team. You should be able to work this out. The Wizards have three guys at the end of their bench, essentially rookies who didn't play all year, more or less. Sheldon McClellan played a little bit. Scott Brooks, it almost feels like Scott Brooks needs to go somewhere else to get a spark, but he hasn't used these guys in so long. What's that line for a coach of like, boy, do I give up on what I've been doing all year versus, well, you know what, nothing's working, let me take that flyer. What kind of goes into that thought process?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for me, you know, I mean, they've had a great season thus far. It's got a great opportunity for it to continue. And I would, you know, if I'm in that situation, I'm staying with the horses that got me there. I think that's really important. You know, confidence comes from being able to bounce back from adversity, being able to bounce back from tough times. You know, always having your players back, I think, is really important. And you know, I'd really comb through the film and try to see where they really were. And you know, watching it, I mean, I thought they got great shots. And, you know, here's the reality of it. If every one of those guys shot over 39% for over 82 games, what are the chances that they're going to continue missing for the next four games? You know, I'm big on the numbers that way, where I would just have so much confidence in those guys that have done it all year long that they're going to get those opportunities, they're going to get those shots, and they're going to make them. You know, they have a particular strength in the fact they know how the Hawks want to guard them. And the Hawks have had success over the last two games guarding them this way. So, you know, I would think, hey, you know, Jason Smith and those guys, said, let's spot your feet up and let's make sure we get those things off and get it going. And I'm going to encourage our guards to keep getting them the ball. Keep getting the ball in the spots where they can knock down outside shots. Keep encouraging them. But the big part happens when you don't make those shots. You know, what you're seeing really is the defensive transition. The Hawks are able to really put a lot of pressure on the Wizards defensively when those shots don't go in. And so you're looking at that second rotation, second tier guys there. It's not necessarily that they're just not making shots. It's that they're not getting back and loading up defensively. And you know, Doc Rivers always talks about get back and get set. That's particularly important in the playoffs or high-pressure situations because you're playing against teams that can really excel at that level and they're not going to make a lot of mistakes. When you're watching the Hawks play, they're getting to the front of the rim. They're able to finish early in the shot clock because of missed jumpers, which tend to lead to long rebounds. So, you know, I think – and Coach Brooks is a way better coach than I am. He's done an unbelievable job with this team. Like, I believe I told you he would the first time we met. He's just so great with young players and bringing those guys along. He's done a great job there. He's going to do a great job of using this as a learning experience to show them, you know. And the reality of it is they get back in transition five more times. Don't even say they make any more shots. They just get back in transition five more times. The course of this game four may have been different. So now if you say, hey, if we can make two more shots and get back five more times, you can really change it around. I would assume that he's going to probably look at some things like that and just try to encourage him to continue to have confidence in the things that they've done, that they've done well, and keep believing in one another. And, you know, that's going to change, you know, the direction of the series.
You mentioned them getting back on defense. Defense definitely has been the issue for them. Maybe not, I won't say all season, but since the All-Star break, they have not been as good. They haven't been as good on both ends of the court, but the defense has been bad. And last night at times certainly seemed like another example of that. Zach Lowe tweeted this morning, I guess he was watching the Wizards game, he tweeted, Wiz D was alarmingly bad slash lazy at times last night, like unclear what they're even thinking on some possessions. That's a pretty harsh assessment, but honestly, over the course of the series, that doesn't seem to be out of whack with what I've been seeing. From your fresh eyes perspective, what did you see about the Wizards defense last night that you thought was troubling, or maybe something you thought they could that was positive?
Yeah, I didn't see it quite that harsh. again, I think when you're missing shots, it's easy to be really frustrated with the shots you just took that you missed. And I really feel like the Wizards missed a lot of good looks last night. I feel like they passed the ball well to one another. They missed a ton of shots that they've made all season long. As the pressure mounts, frustration also rises, right? And so when those things happen, sometimes when you miss a shot or two that you feel like you should make, if you don't sprint back, it's going to turn into bad news. Now, you might be able to get through that in the regular season, but when you're playing the best of the best, those opportunities are going to be hard to come by. And so what I saw last night was just guys being frustrated with what was going on the offensive end. And, they really, honestly, their numbers weren't atrocious defensively. they've turned the Hawks over this series. They've done a good job in some of those areas. They just missed open shots. And I thought there was a lot of frustration that came from missing the open shots that led to poor defensive transition because someone's frustrated on the other end and just not sprinting back. And the Hawks have a lot of guys that can handle the ball. So when they rebound the ball, they don't always outlet it to the point guard. They all have a chance to push the ball. And so when they're doing that, if you have your head down because you just missed a shot or you're not resetting yourself fast enough, they're going to have an opportunity to score on the other end. And so I wouldn't say that defensively, and that's not what I saw, quite honestly. I saw them really defending there, especially in that first quarter. Everything comes down to your ability to contest shots, your ability to rebound the ball, miss shots. But I don't see it really being an effort thing as much as it is just the ability to reset themselves and have confidence that no matter what the situation presents itself, they're going to be able to bounce back from. And I thought there was a large frustration from missing shots that they normally make. I'm sure Coach Brooks and his staff are going to show these guys these flips and say, we're going to make these shots, and it's going to change the course of the game. And you just can't get frustrated. As a pressure mount, it's really hard, but you've got to find a way to stay loose and stay confident. And, we always say aggressive, confident, and loose. And, the team that's going to be able to do that, always gives himself a chance to win at the best moments.
Yeah, I mean, last night we were going through all the different things, why this was bad, what happened here, what's up with this. And at some point I was like, you know what, for all these things we're talking about, they always say the NBA is a make or miss league, and they are just not making shots. If they just were hitting, right, instead of 28% from three, 33, which is still not great, they're probably up.
It's a different series. It's a completely different series.
And that's just how things goes. I know I got to get you out of here in a sec, so I'm just sort of curious. I look at a game, fans look at a game, we look at it from our perspective. You as a coach are looking at it from a different way. I'm sure you can't turn the X's and O's off in your brain, and I'm sure when you watch a game, especially with guys like Scott Brooks and Budenholzer, considered to be the two of the better Texans in the league, I'm sure you're seeing something that we're not seeing. What just sort of in general stood out to you that either of those guys are doing that you're like, ooh, maybe that's something, how did he do that, or why did they do that? Maybe I need to do that. Anything sort of jump out to you that these guys were doing that you found it was interesting?
Yeah, I'm definitely taking down a lot of notes about the stuff that the Wizards are running. I like how they're getting the ball to Beal and John Wall early in transition off not just a drag action, which is a middle ball screen and roll. They're really pushing in some really, really good secondary breaks. And you can tell that's why they've been able to really have a good offense this year, is because they're really getting the ball to their best two guys early in the shot clock with opportunity to make plays. And, so I've been particularly really watching that. And that's why I was so impressed with the shots they've been able to create for one another. And the Hawks are excellent defensively. You're looking at a team that's really long. They're big at every spot. When they go to that second unit, they've got Bazemore at 6'5", 6'6", playing the point guard spot. That's a major matchup, defensively for the Hawks. And, they just do a great job defensively there. And so that's what I'm really looking at. you know, just how are the Wizards trying to get the ball to their best guys and what spots on the floor, and what are the counters by the Hawks? And so one thing I've noticed watching NBA basketball and being a big fan of the NBA, especially in the playoffs, you know, when you get to games 3, 4, 5, and 6, there's so many adjustments that's going to be made. And the good thing for the Wizards, they have such a good veteran coach there, and, you know, he's going to be able to see these adjustments that need to be made and get the ball to the right guys in these different spots. And again, I think they're calling a great game, man. They're getting great looks. One big adjustment that I've noticed with the Hawks in just from the first few games, you're only seeing one guy really go to the offensive glass for the Hawks. You know, you're seeing Dwight Howard in there battling. You're seeing one guy, but they're with the other four guys is they're really sprinting back defensively and getting set, and they're really making John Wall really have to reset the offense instead of being able to push. And last night, I think he had a few turnovers pushing in transition where the Hawks were back and set. And the Hawks are basically saying, we're going to make you run half-court offense and see if you can beat us that way. And that's the next progression for this Wizards team that's very talented is, you know, hey, we're not getting to the front of the rim. We're one of the best transition teams in the league. The Hawks are trying to take us out of that. Let's make sure we're getting the ball to the right spot. You know, the good thing is with the way the Hawks are defending the Wizards by putting everybody in the lane when Wall pushes, you know, he missed Beal twice last night. They were just miscommunication. He had great looks. Beal didn't get to the corner, didn't get to the wing. They just had miscommunication. Beal and Porter are going to be open in transition for kickouts because how the Hawks have to load up to John Wall in transition. And so if they can just get out and run three more steps and really get set, I think the Wizards are going to have a lot of open looks in transition for three with a lot of good three-point shooters and maybe not have to play directly, you know, in the half court, but just have an understanding that Wall can push there and the Hawks got to stop him. He's so electric. He's going to sit down and make those right plays. And if that's not there, let's be in a grinded out game. Let's trust our talent. Let's give ourselves the best opportunity to win and really make great decisions. It's going to be a great series. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I'm looking forward to learning some more over the next few days, just watching it.
Yeah, no, if I can pull it all back, it's definitely been an interesting series. I mean, look, it's a 4-5 matchup. Its series is tied at 2-2. Both teams won at home. To some degree, it's kind of what you expect. Of course, as I was coming into the series, neither team was really doing great over the last month or so of the season, but Atlanta was definitely worse. It felt like, all right, this is a pretty reasonable matchup for the Wizards. They won the last three times they met during the regular season. They have a big edge in the backcourt, yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it's a 4-5 matchup. It's been pretty tight. It's been interesting. And, we'll go three games to go. The Wizards have the home court advantage, so that counts for something. We will see what
– Don't overreact after every loss. You know, sometimes the other team plays a little bit better. Some things go a little different. But, you know, these teams are about even. And it's going to be, you know, the little things are going to equal big things in each game. And the team that does that the best in each game is going to have the opportunity to win. You know, each team's got to win two out of the next three. And so you're in a great position.
Is coaching – I mean, I know we talked last time. You said you knew Scott Brooks a little bit somewhat from past dealings. And obviously I know you watch the NBA as evidenced by this conversation. How different, honestly, though, is coaching NBA versus college? I mean, is it – it seems sometimes it's almost like two different sports.
Yeah, well, I think the difference is, you know, the NBA is truly about the players on the floor, and it's truly about managing those egos and those personalities and keeping those guys confident. And I think that's kind of the difference with the NBA and college. You know, in the NBA, those faces don't change. You know, you sign 5 or 6 year deals, 7 year deals, and guys are there for a long time. We're in college. You know, we have guys for 3 or 4 years, so the faces are rapidly changing. So I think the way you have to deal with someone if you're going to be married to them for 6 or 7 years, it's different than if you're going to be married to him for 1 or 2 years. And I think that's one of the bigger things you see with the NBA. I think the X and O's wise, you know, basketball is basketball. The defensive 3 seconds is very different in the NBA. I think it opens up the scoring. I wish we did it in college because it makes it really hard to defend the pick and roll, which we love to run here. But I do think that, you know, X and O's wise, it's about the same. You know, the game is always about getting the ball to your best guys in the right spots and being able to build a system where your role players can have a strong sense of urgency and where they can help your team. And, you know, those things won't change whether you're playing basketball here or in Europe in the NBA or sixth grade basketball. And, you know, when you watch the NBA, you get a chance to watch a guy do it at the highest level.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jamie, I'll let you go. I definitely appreciate it. As always, I know you're going to go get back on the recruiting trail. I have no idea how you all do that job. That always Of all the teams I cover, I legitimately think college basketball, I mean this nicely, college basketball coach is the worst. You guys have to do the coaching and the recruiting. Oh, Lord. It is, I don't know how you all do it, but I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks so much.
All right. And that was, Mount St. Mary's coach, Jamian Christian. Many thanks to him. Like I said, I really think he's a really smart, interesting guy. He showed me he sent me a picture of the copious amount of notes he took. He really got into it. He didn't just sort of watch and said, yeah, okay, I'll tell you some stuff. He really got into it, and I think that came across in his conversation. A couple quick things here just before I get out. Scott Brooks said today, does not sound like Jan Mahimi will be back for either Game 5 or Game 6. Not a huge surprise. I kind of, for most of the series, I didn't really think it was, if Jan Mahimi was going to be out, going up against Atlanta didn't seem to be such a bad deal because they like to go small. Last night did seem like the first time it was an issue. Just because, especially with Marquise Morris, keep getting in foul trouble. Three straight games, he's gotten five fouls. He has almost double the amount of fouls as field goals the last three games. And Dwight Howard was, you know, that was his best game. So it felt like no Jan Mahimi last night was a problem. I mean, you know, he's obviously not ideal to guard Paul Millsap, but certainly neither is Jason Smith. So anyway, so there's that. Beyond that, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Game 5, Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Don't forget that. And we will be there after the game. Until next time, see ya.
Everybody just took me. Neal gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Sine, touchdown! Walt Prime, off-balance shot. Dagger!